This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Lori Vallow-Daybell isn't just standing trial. She's taking center stage at her own defense as her own defense attorney in a case where she's accused of conspiring to kill her husband. Now, most of us can barely get through a tax return without asking for help. And here she is, prepping cross-examination in shackles. Behind the theatrics is a far more unsettling question. How does someone go from soccer mom to a self-declared prophet to murder defendant and attorney and still seem absolutely convinced that she is the hero of the story? Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, joining us. Siobhan, when you look at someone like Lori Vallow, whose belief system has led to multiple deaths and who shows no remorse, are we talking about delusion here, a personality disorder, or something even more complex when we're looking at the case of Lori Vallow?
Fortunately, we don't see a whole lot like her, which is a really good thing, because she's a very dangerous combination of someone with a very severe religious delusional disorder. She's grandiose, and she also has a severe personality disorder that preceded the delusional disorder. So she's considered to be narcissistic. She's manipulative, she's histrionic, she loves attention, and she thinks she's the prophetess from God. And when she hooked up with the cult leader, Chad Daybell, we know what happened. Very, very dangerous people.
There's a lot of people who still believe that she is just really extremely manipulative and will do whatever she needs to get her way. Obviously, that is part of her makeup. That seems to be what she's, you know, doing. And we saw it in the Dateline interview. We've seen it when she's talked to her son, Colby Ryan, always trying to get people to believe their perspective or her perspective on everything or her narrative of the story that's changed 50 times. Is that just delusion, or is delusion more so just kind of a symptom of the bigger problem here? And is she even aware of the manipulation in combination with the delusion? Is it the manipulation? Is that just, that's just life for Lori?
Yeah, I think the manipulation is something that just comes natural to her. She certainly used her beauty throughout the course of her life since she was a young girl to get her way. She has the ability to make people feel special. She can be very warm. She can be funny. So she's highly manipulative, but she's also delusional, and that makes her crazy and dangerous.
With her and Chad, was that an example of the shared psychosis where the two are believing these sort of things? Or and with shared psychosis, do both have to be on the same level of being a psychopath at that moment in time? Yeah. Can one be way up here and one be like, I'm doing some pretty kind of there, but can also, you know, get off that scale and then not be there anymore while the other still rides it high?
Yeah. Yeah, the psychosis is shared, which is another thing that's really rare. But when these two met each other, it was sort of like, you know, propane and a match, and they just both really amplified. And it's possible to look at psychosis on a continuum, and you can say that some people are a little psychotic some of the time, and some of the people are a lot psychotic most of the time. And I think with Lori, extreme psychosis, she fully believes everything that she says. I mean, that is her reality, and I don't think she can be talked out of it. I do wonder about Chad, not having met him, I can't say for sure, but he seems to me at times to believe his own BS, but perhaps to have a little bit more grounding in reality. At least he knows when to shut up about it, and Lori doesn't.
Why are people like Lori, why is she so good at manipulating others, or why was she so good at manipulating others?
It's a really good question. And what about her background? Maybe her role in the family had something to do with how she always got her way. I mean, she was on television game shows and beauty contests, and this was just someone who was really good at getting through in the world, getting by in the world. She found men who were fairly well off who would marry her and support her while she worked as a hairstylist, you know, so she wasn't a tremendously accomplished or talented person in any way, not to knock hairstylists, mm-hmm. but she really found her way in life through attaching to men that she could manipulate.
And that's an interesting part, because it seems once Charles Vallow, and that's another person who this is trial is all about, that and the Brandon Boudreau and the you know, the accusations of attempted murder there. But obviously, Charles is the dead one here in this story. She gets back the morning that he's killed or dies. He was killed. Alex Cox went in there and killed him, claiming it was self-defense. She shows up smiling, laughing. She's being interviewed. It was chilling. Even if you're on the outs with your ex or whatever, and they certainly were, he was calling her out. He was telling police she's lost her mind. She's in this bizarre religious state, and she's not coming out of it. When you have something like that, what's going on in her mind when she maybe got that information? Did she already probably know it was going to happen? Did she already deal with it, or was there nothing to deal with? Was it just, how do we control the narrative because there's no empathy going on there?
Yeah, I think she really is a person who's able to, once she has a story, fully believe her story. And in her mind, Charles was dark. Mm-hmm. What was the name they had for him? Ned, somebody that was a demon.
I always want to say Ned Ryerson, but that's Groundhog's Day. But it's Ned something, yes.
Ned something, yeah. And Ned needed to die, and she was able to witness all this. And yeah, that complete disconnection from having any kind of empathic response to this man that you raised your kids with, right? Mm-hmm. And then go on and talk with the law enforcement officers in a way that was completely charming, you could say beguiling, you know, with able to paint herself as a victim and be convincing about it.
How does someone like Lori, or anyone who like suddenly has this idea that someone is a dark spirit. We started to kind of see that over with Ruby Frankie. Thank God those kids were rescued. But what goes on in one's mind to be, you know, pretzeled in such a way that they can believe another person is a demon or they're dark or they need to die? Is that a suggestion from someone? Is that a delusion where they're in their religious, you know, whatever fervor, and they're praying and having a conversation with God or whatever, and that comes to them through a vision? Is it a combination? Like, how do they get there? How do they get the information in their head that, yes, this person who was the father of your kids or the stepfather and was there and you had all these good times together, but now they're dark, they're evil, and they must die. That seems a bit extreme, unless, you know, they're thinking about this about a lot of people, too.
Right. It probably is a lot of people. And I do think you nailed it with it. It does at least originally come out of a black and white religious system, mm-hmm. where there is talk of an enemy, whether it's a political enemy, a person of a different race, or just somebody who doesn't think exactly like us, they belong to Satan. Mm-hmm. And when you have people that are not very well grounded psychologically, they can take that kind of thinking and start applying it all over the place, which is pretty scary.
I've seen that in some of the more extreme cases, the term the enemy being used a lot, not just like the devil or Satan or this or the ones that seem to go far with their ideology use that the enemy term.
Is
that accurate, and why?
100% accurate. And this gets into some really fascinating stuff about the human mind and human development, with our tendency to form in-groups and out-groups. And we're sort of hardwired to have empathy and compassion for people that we perceive to be like us, mm-hmm. and to dislike people that we see as different from us. And so that's just a human quality. You know, we may like Americans more than people from foreign countries, or we like Black people more than white people, or white people more than Black people. You know, so we sort of form these in-groups and out-groups, but it can be taken to a sick extreme. And we see a lot of polarization now, certainly in our political system, in our government, where people are truly becoming polarized to such an extreme degree that everybody who is not exactly like them is part of the enemy. Mm-hmm. And when you mix religion in with that, it's like the enemy becomes satanic, and yeah, then it's okay to kill those people. Mm-hmm. Because culture teaches us who the in-group is and who the out-group is and who it's okay to kill. And that's, I think, what you see taken to an extreme with the Daybells.
It's interesting with folks like that, because it's not just, oh, there's the devil, and then if you're going to go with some religious ideology, you know, light religion, or just, I guess, some of the more common ones, it's like, that's over there, and you can be a sinner, and you can, you know, we all do bad things and that. But with some of these extreme ones, it's, you're not just influenced and you're doing bad things. You are part of the complex of the devil, basically, when you are the enemy. And they can use it on like anything. Yes. It's like, that's the enemy. Like anything bad happens, like it's a thunderstorm and lightning hit your house, it's the enemy.
100%.
Somebody disagreeing, or like, you know, you not getting the sale at Costco, that's the enemy. It can be the lightest, most ridiculous things to like everything. And the enemy seems to like explain away to them anything that opposes their narrative. Is that accurate?
100%. 100%. You nailed it. It's a really dangerous way to thinking. It's a childish way of thinking, but we see a lot of it. And yes, people who have a bad day, something goes wrong, their package gets delivered to the wrong address. Oh, it was the enemy doing all this to me. It's really nutty.
So the advice, if you're with someone that's using the term the enemy on a regular basis, is it run for your life?
run fast.
Yeah. Oh, I ran fast. Thank God. Thank God. Because I heard that term a lot from an ex. And that's spooky.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.